Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I could not have hand-selected a more appropriate Bible study to go before this message than the one that we just heard. I did not know our brother's text or what he was going to say, but as I was listening to that, I thought, boy, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, I pray that today is of the Lord. I pray that today is of the Lord. Every now and then I'll tell you this, and every time I say this, I mean it. And this is one of those times. I'm saying it right now. What we are going to look at this morning is critical. It's critical. And I want to, as our brother just said, in delivery, in approach, in humility, in meekness, in fear, I want to deliver this in a way that is honoring and glorifying to the Lord, in a way that is truly edifying and effective for us. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage every person here. If you care about these things, if the Lord has given a care in your heart for these things, silently, quietly, go into your heart right now and pray to Him. It can be so short. It can be before I finish talking this sentence. Ask Him to open your heart to what He's saying. Do that. Go and say, Lord, would you please open my ear to what you're saying? Open my eyes to what you're saying. Speak to me today. Even me, even me. Let thy blessing fall on me. While on others thou art calling, please don't pass me by. Okay? Ask him that. Ask him that. Our Lord is called the great physician. And he is telling us about a critical condition right here. This is eternal life or eternal death critical. This is critical. This is so, so critical. Men and women are in a critical condition before God, and they don't know it. All right, now this is what I'm talking about. You think about the day before, one day before men and women find out they have stage 4 cancer. The day before that. Same condition. They just didn't know it. All right? This is a condition before God. This is a condition in men and women's standing before God. And I pray the Lord will let all of us, oh, myself included, I'm speaking to myself. I pray the Lord will let us see, hear, understand what He's saying right here. Because He is declaring how it's going to go in the judgment. All right? That's what He's telling us. What we're about to read, He is spelling out to us how it's going to go in the judgment. All right, He said this is how it's going to go. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now we see how critical this is. I have three things that I want us to consider in looking at this. All right. Number one, who is saying this? Is it some radical madman who's standing on a street corner with a sign hanging around his neck? Who is saying this? Number two, what is he saying? And number three, what does he mean by it? Who is saying this? What is he saying? And what does he mean by it? All right, who is saying this? Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. The Lord is saying this. Now, if I was saying this, I wouldn't put too much stock in it. And that's why I say that Bible study just perfectly clarified. It's the Lord. It's not the preacher. I wouldn't put too much stock in what I come up with on my own. Well, you know, a lot, and you'll hear a lot of people do that. Well, I think I'm not interested in that. I'm not. I'm not interested in what I think. Men all throughout time have made radical dogmatic statements in the name of being preachers or in the name of whatever. That's a pretty bold statement. And men have stood up and they make these radical statements, but they mean nothing. They mean nothing. Only the word of the Lord shall stand forever. And the word of the Lord shall stand forever. The word of the Lord, who's saying this? The word of the Lord shall stand forever. We're here to preach the word of the Lord. You know, the flesh, men want to pass over things. Well, let's just skip over that. We're here to preach the word of the Lord. We're not here to skip over that. We've been in Matthew 7 for a long time now. Next verse in line. We're here to preach the word of the Lord. That's what we're here to do. If we are going to preach the truth, all we're going to do is repeat the words that the Lord has said. This right here is preacher school, okay? If we want to know what it is to preach, be a preacher of truth, all we're going to do is we're going to stand here and repeat the words that the Lord has said. That's it. That's it. If we do that, nothing that we say will be a radical statement. It'll just be the word of the Lord. Therefore, it's critical that we understand who is saying this. Who is saying this? Somebody will hear these types of things, and they'll say, now that's just your opinion. You tell someone what the Lord has said, and they'll say, well, now that's just your opinion. No. No. That's God's opinion. And God doesn't have an opinion. He just has a declaration. That's all that He has. And we must hear it. When the Lord told Ezekiel to preach to those dead bones, those dead, dry bones. This is what He said to them. He said, you say, first thing, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's what He uses, isn't it? That's what He uses. A man wisely said, I love illustrations. Our Lord preached with parables without a parable. Our Lord didn't preach, but a man said, our illustrations are not what saves people. God's word is what saves people. These illustrations help make the word clear to us and alive to us. But it's the word. It is the word. I need to hear the word of the Lord this morning. We all need to hear the word of the Lord. this morning. We need to shut down, and this is what I pray the Lord will help me to do and all of us to do. We need to shut down all rebuttal. But, you know, you'll tell people, now this is what the Lord said. Well, now, but, hold on now, wait a minute now, but we need to shut all of that down. And we need to hear the word of the Lord. Who am I to reply against God? This is the word of the Lord. The Lord God Almighty. So that's the first thing we need to realize. This is God speaking. This is God speaking. All right, let's consider this second question. And it seems like a simple question at first, but I'm going to try to emphasize to us really what I mean by this, okay? Here's the second question. What is he saying right here? Just word for word. Just word for word. What is he saying right here? Let's read it together, all right? Matthew 7, verse 21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not been drunks and harlots? Have we not been thieves and rioters? Have we not lived our lives in the gutter of vile immorality?" Verse 23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Is that what he said? That's what many people think he has said. And that's what many people think he will say on the day of judgment. But is that what he said? No. Verse 22. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" That means preached. Do we think about the context that we've been looking at in Matthew 7? False religion, false preachers, false messages. All right? "Have we not preached in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Works. "And then will I profess unto them." Who's he talking to? Preachers. "I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." Now, do we understand what he's saying? Let's understand what he is saying. What's he saying here? This is critical. This is critical. In this Bible Belt that we live in, look at a map of the United States of America. We live in the Bible Belt. And I'm telling you, you know, fear and trembling just struck me. It just struck me 10 seconds ago. I say this with humility. I'm telling you, I say this in fear. The angels of heaven fall prostrate at his feet. That means you can't get any flatter, as flat as you can get. Face in the ground. I want to say to preachers, I get upset with men who stand up and lie to people. I feel sorry for people who are being lied to and they're about to go stand before the judgment throne of God Almighty. But right now I'm feeling sorry for these preachers. I'm feeling so sorry. Because who's saying this? And what is he saying? He's saying, I'm going to say to preachers, when our Lord uses words like many, he means many. I'm going to say to preachers, this is how the judgment's going to go. You're going to watch preacher after preacher after preacher. And I'm going to say to all these preachers, you're not coming in. You're not coming in. And it's because everything that you did was sin in my eyes. Everything you did in your flesh was sin in my eyes. These verses right before it, we looked at them last week. I just mentioned it. False religion, false preachers, false messages. He said in verse 13, many are going in that way. Many are going in this way. To put it in plain terms, I'm just going to say it this way. I'm just going to say it this way. I just don't know how else to say it. And either the Lord will give us faith to understand it and believe it, or He won't. Most preachers are not saved. I just said that we don't like radical statements. That is not a radical statement. That's not a radical statement. This is the Word of God. I'm just repeating the Word of God. Most preachers are not saved. People assume that because a man is a preacher, he's a shoo-in. According to the Word of God, most likely he's a charlatan. More than likely he's a hireling, itching people's ears so that people will follow him and pay him and feed his ego. And but for the grace of God, I would be one of them. I'd be top on the list. I'm not fooling myself. If God takes His hand off of me, I got just enough in me to be the... Oh, my goodness. May God have mercy on my soul and save me and keep me. But for the grace of God, all of us... We say this, we say in these things boastfully and arrogantly, and what's wrong with you people? No. But for the grace of God, all of us would hear Him say, depart from me, I never knew you. You're a worker of iniquity. And the reason is because all of us are workers of iniquity. In my flesh, all I have done is iniquity. I'm no different. But for the grace of God, I'm no different. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. The best we have to offer God, it is still empty worthlessness in His sight. And in Him saying, I never knew you. All right? Who's saying this and what is He saying? What is He saying? In Him saying, I never knew you, He's not saying, I don't know who you are. What's your name again? He's not saying that. All souls are His in the sense that He made them and He gave them at their appointed time. He knows all things. Nothing and no one is outside of His knowledge. Nobody. In the same way that the book of Genesis says that Adam knew Eve and she conceived and bare a son, what that's saying is he loved her and he joined himself into a union with her. And for our Lord to say, I never knew you, what he's saying is, I never loved you. And I never joined into a union with you. Now, believe me, I know that's tough to hear. That's tough to hear for those who God has given faith to believe it. It's like, oh, I know that's tough to hear. Believe me, but we must hear it. We must understand it. We must believe it. Why? This is God's word, not mine. It's not my word. It's not your word. We can't take responsibility for that, for this. All we can do is repeat it, and we must repeat it because a sinner's day of judgment depends on it. Our Lord has chosen to use the means of preaching. He has. He has chosen to use the means of preaching the truth of His own word to open the blind eyes of His sinful people. The ones that the Father chose and gave to Christ, they're going to hear the truth. And that truth is going to set them free from all of their error and all of the lies they've been told. So we must declare this. We must hear this. We must believe this. This is in the hands of God Almighty. Now, I also know that this is the exact opposite of what the flesh naturally wants to hear. It's difficult to hear. This is the opposite of what the flesh wants to hear. But again, this is the truth from the mouth of the truth Himself. And He's saying to all mankind, be warned. Be warned. God does not love everybody. Christ did not die for everybody. And that's the lie. When we talk about false preachers preaching lies, there it is. That's the lie that they're, well, God loves everybody and Christ died for everybody. And our Lord is telling us that is not so, and we will find that out on the day of judgment. We will find that out. Now, in addition to that, the Lord is saying, enduring the judgment. If a sinner is going to endure the judgment and enter into glory, it will totally depend on what God does for a sinner and not what a sinner does for God. That's what he's saying. It's going to totally depend on what God has done for a sinner in and through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Verse 22, he said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we, this is our testimony, we have preached in your name. We have cast out devils in your name. We've done many wonderful works. Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What's he saying here? Do we see what he's saying here? It's all going to come down to we or I, meaning us or him. They said to him, we did this and we did this. And I just told you this recently. I'm going to tell you again. I don't know exactly what it's like to cross over, for this body to lay down and for our soul to enter into eternity, that spiritual state. But I can tell you this, based on the Word of God, if that happens and you're in the presence of God, plead Christ alone. Whatever question is asked to you, just say, I plead Christ alone. I plead the blood alone. I'm begging for mercy alone. Not me. Not I. Him alone. you know, this is what we did. This is what we did. That is not going to be received. He said, here's the problem for you. I did not do what you needed to be done, needed to have done. Throughout this scripture, we can look at story after story after story of how God saves sinners. This man receiveth sinners. People who cry to him. You know, think about David in Psalm 51 and think about different stories of men who cried, Lord, I am so sorry. I have not done what I should have done. I did what I shouldn't have done. I am not. And he says to them, no, you haven't, but I have. I have. And in what I've done, you're saved. You think about, read all through Isaiah and Jeremiah and these places where he said, I sought you. I found you. I called you. I took out your stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. I redeemed you. I saved you. Look unto me and be ye saved. I, the Lord, do all these things. It's all going to come down to who does what. That's what it's all going to come down to. And that's what the Lord is telling us here. And that's what he means by what he's telling us here. Who's saying this? God is. What is he saying? He's saying man's work will not be the determining factor on whether or not he is allowed to enter in. Man's works will not be the determining factor. Am I against obedient works to the Lord? No, I'm not. God forbid. Let me be a follower. Let me be a servant. Conform me to your image. No, I'm not against the works that God produces in his people, but please let me never plead them for my hope of salvation. Let me reject them. Let me deny them. They are not the determining factor. Here it is. This is what he means by everything that he's saying. If you look at the end of verse 21, or just verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's who's going to enter in. Whoever does the will of the Father which is in heaven. That's going to be the determining factor. Only those who do the Father's will. I thought you just said it's not in what we do. Exactly. That's exactly right. What in the world do you mean? What does he mean? What is doing the Father's will? What is the Father's will? Just comes down to that. What is the Father's will? This is what people will naturally say. Stop sinning. That is not the Father's will. That's not the Father's will. What? You mean it's not stop sinning and be perfect as you can be so that God will look at you and think that you're good enough to come in? You mean that's not it? No, that is not it. That is not the Father's will. Turn with me to Galatians 2. We're going to read this scripture to set up the Father's will. Okay? Galatians 2, verse 21, it says, and oh, may the Lord open our ears, eyes, and hearts to this right here. Galatians 2:21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. That happens all the time among false preachers. Mixed in with grace, they just can't leave works out of it. They frustrate it because they just cannot leave works out of it. It's either works so that grace will come, or it's grace so that works will come for salvation. But now, if you don't see works, you can't be saved. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If a man or a woman's own earned righteousness, goodness, perfection, obedience, worthiness, if their own goodness and their own righteousness making themselves worthy enough and perfect enough to enter into glory on their own, if that was the will of the Father, do we really believe He would have sent His Son to die in vain? If we could accomplish that on our own, do we really believe He would have just in case, let's kill the Son? If we could clean ourselves up and had the ability to make ourselves spotless before Him, do we really believe He would have shed the blood of His own Son to cover something that was already perfect? Us producing our own goodness and us producing our own perfection, that is not the will of the Father. All right, what is it? Turn with me to Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Hear ye him. Listen to him. Look to him. Wait on him. Believe on him. To do what? To accomplish the will of the Father for his people. Our brother just read Psalm 40 for us as a scripture reading, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I delight to do thy will." And oh, he read to us the agony that he went through accomplishing the Father's will for his people. Look with me at Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 39, it says, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.'" In the Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord said, "Father, I have come to this place to accomplish your will. Thy will be done." Verse 42 right here. "He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done.'" Father, this is your will, and thy will be done. Turn with me to John 6. John 6, verse 37 says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." He said, "This is the Father's will, that I do all the work of saving and raising up my people, and they see me as the doer of all the work and believe on me as the author and finisher of all the work of their salvation." He said, that is the Father's will. Christ does all the work, and we say, amen. That's the Father's will. According to the word of the Lord, the judgment is all going to come down to this. Whoever tries to enter in on their own merits will hear, "Depart from me, there's no acceptance for you." But whoever begs to enter in on the merits of the work of Christ alone, and if a sinner does, that's called faith. Faith is not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. That's God choosing to put faith in a person and creating that faith in that person. It's still the work of God. It's not in our hands. But it's the evidence of who God is going to have mercy on. And every soul that He has mercy on is going to cry, "I don't plead my work. I plead the work of Christ alone." Well, how about just a few of them? Don't you just want to plead it? Nope, not one. I count them all dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having any righteousness of my own, but His alone. God revealing this to a sinner is His mercy to that sinner. That sinner will hear, "You are accepted in the Beloved." God revealing this is His mercy to a sinner. People spend their whole lives, and I'm done. I've gone way over. I'm done. But people spend their whole lives in false religion. And whatever, you know, we're a product of how we were raised. My parents taught me some things, and I'm a product of that. And maybe another set of parents did something differently, and another person is a product of that. And we grow up our whole lives hearing things and believing things, and people spend their whole lives growing up in false religion, hearing that it's about man, and you got to look to man, and it's all about what man does, and man, and if God in mercy ever comes with His Spirit, with His gospel, with His word, with His truth, and reveals Christ like a two-edged sword, just pierces the heart with Jesus Christ. Oh, and if a sinner ever sees the man, he will cry, "It is not my works, O God, it is Christ's alone. It is Christ's alone." And that's the difference. That's going to be the difference in how the judgment goes for a sinner standing before God. May God put that cry in me and in all of us, believing on Him, looking to Him, pleading Him. That's the will of the Father. That's the will of me. Thy will be done. Create that in me. I'm going to just stop. I've got two more pages of notes, and I'm just going to stop. But you know, I'll close with this. That thief on the cross, that was a vile, wicked man. He never went to church. He never was baptized. He never gave a tithe. But the Word of God was hanging next to him. The gospel Himself, the preacher, the prophet, the great high priest. And then God's mercy revealing Jesus Christ crucified. That man, what a vile, wicked sinner. And he looked to his right or left and said, "I see Jesus Christ crucified for the sin of His people. I see the spotless Lamb of God." And he said, "Would you remember me? Would you do it when you come into your kingdom?" And he said, "Today you're going to be with me in paradise." Yeah. Plead His work alone. And may God have mercy on all of our souls. All right, Brother Eddie, you come.